Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. Late Sunday into early Monday, week 7 of the NFL. We just wrapped up. And I'll tell you one thing, Mike, as we watch the Falcons do what they do. They're a total mystery. They can't carry good play over. And I think it's coaching. We saw it last year. Raheem lost them games. But they went to San Francisco. Got to give San Francisco a lot of credit. Played great defense without Warner. Obviously, no Bosa. McCaffrey had half the touches on offense. And the 49ers win. They ended up catching a point this game, 20-10, goes well under the 46.5. And just quickly, you take a look at that division now. The Rams won today. They're 5-2. 49ers won today. They're 5-2. And Seattle is 4-2. And they play tomorrow night, which we'll end with tonight.
Yeah, look, this is the best division in football, top to bottom. But this Sunday night game, I'm going to have to rewatch it tomorrow. I don't. Were the 49ers good or were the Falcons bad?
Falcons were very bad.
I like you watched. Like Penix missed multiple throws, so obviously that's a negative there. But this is a 49ers defense that has absolutely no pass rush. When once Bosa went out, you lose Fred Warner last week. You should be able to run the football on them. They just weren't effective running the football. This is a team that looked like they were ready to say we can contend in the NFC last Monday night, taking on Buffalo. And then come out and lay an egg in San Francisco on primetime this week. Just a Jekyll and Hyde performance here from the Falcons from last week to this week.
Bijan, 2.9 a pop. He did have 14 rushes for 40 yards. They could get nothing going. I give Saleh and that defense a lot of credit, obviously playing undermanned. But Atlanta, like I said, last year Morris lost them in-game games with his play, with his calling. And to me, I put this on coaching. You played good football last week, a big win. You carry it over, you go to the West Coast, and you lay a complete egg. Just nothing carries over for this Falcons team. And then San Francisco, like we said, they're 5-2 and probably. Now, the schedule has been soft, but the injuries, as we saw again, Mac Jones play tonight. But Mac Jones, let's be fair, he was fine in the game. I mean, the numbers aren't going to wow you. He didn't have a touchdown pass. He had the pick. But picking up first downs with his legs, just doing what it takes.
I will tell you this. There are multiple NFL teams who would be happy to have Mac Jones playing
sure.
at the current level he is. And that's credit to Kyle Shanahan, right? Let's just be honest here. Kyle Shanahan, quarterback whisperer over there, made Brock Purdy into what he is. Very much having the revival of Mac Jones where he wanted to draft him 3, ends up taking Trey Lance at 3 because of the organization there. It would be interesting to see what the long-term plan is here. We've talked about that. We talked about on your show on a Friday, I think it was 2 weeks ago, you should just be trading Purdy. Get rid of the contract and just roll with Mac Jones from here on out.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. Mac is playing really well in San Francisco. We'll get to them coming up here in just a little bit. We run the rotation on Sunday night. Then we come back to you on Thursday here on Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And just quickly, San Francisco is going to go to Houston. We'll get to Houston coming up here at the end of the program with the Monday night game. And Atlanta is going to be hosting your Dolphins. And right now, Atlanta is anywhere from 6 to 7.5.
My Dolphins, Patrick. My Dolphins. We'll talk about that Atlanta Dolphins game once we get past this Dolphins game against the Browns this week. I have a feeling there may be some changes in the works for the Dolphins.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel has a feeling as well because he said that. I think that's what he said. I couldn't quite understand after the game. We'll get to them here in just a bit. Let's go to the top of the board, run to rotation. We'll start in London where it was just dominance. The Rams, 451, a 35-7 winner over Jacksonville. They closed 3, easily cover. And it was a Jacksonville team. We just keep on saying, don't bite. Don't bite. I'm not biting.
The Jags are going to jag, man. And that's what they did in this game. Like, you watch it, and Trevor Lawrence, he throws for 396, one touchdown, no interceptions. Like, well, he was probably good. Nope, he was not good. They were chasing the whole game. Ends up 23 for 48. His quarterback rating, or his QBR is 70, or his quarterback rating, 74.7. His QBR, 13.2. Throws for almost 300 yards and gets a 13.2 quarterback rating. That tells you how bad he actually was in this game. A Jaguars, another Jekyll and Hyde team, man. They can't string these good performances together. And the Rams, I mean, Matthew Stafford throws for 5 touchdowns. A lot of one-yard touchdowns. Like, I'm not going to give him the full 5 touchdown credit here, but he was very good in this spot. And the Rams just dominated from start to finish. They looked like the more prepared team, the better coached team, the team that was ready to go out there and play a football game. And the Jags were just sleepwalking through the first half, found themselves down 21-0, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah, it was over at half, and the Rams had 7 sacks. I think that's a young defense, obviously, that's just going to keep getting better. Jacksonville is, again, we're not going to bite on that team. Those are two teams. Just quickly to state, Week 8 has 6 teams on bye. That is the heaviest bye week. Jacksonville and the Rams coming off the international will go on bye. Arizona's got a bye coming up next week. Detroit, Las Vegas, and Seattle. Speaking of Vegas, 453, they were in Kansas City. We were talking about how high this number could get, and we were nervous about it. We shouldn't have been nervous because 31-0 Kansas City. Rashee Rice, a legit wide receiver one, comes in, makes an immediate impact, and Kansas City is the best team in the AFC. It's not a question.
AFC? Who's better in the NFC, Patrick?
Football. They're incredible.
I was talking about this game on Saturday with Matt Brown on Ready Set Bet, and I said, show me something, Kansas City, because we have had team after team have the opportunity to stamp themselves as the best team in football. I moved Kansas City up to number one in my power rankings with the turn of Rashee Rice. I wanted to see it. Kansas City showed it today. It was and I don't want to overreact to this because it was the Raiders, and they are atrocious. They're probably the 30th or 31st best team out of 32 in the NFL. But Kansas City's offense is a problem now, Patrick.
Yeah.
Because you've got Rashee Rice, and people kind of forgot this. He's running these little 4-yard, 5-yard, 6-yard routes, and he is a possession receiver who has the ability to break a play after the catch. Then you've got Worthy, who is stretching the field deep. You've got Hollywood Brown, who is stretching the field deep. And it opens up holes for guys like Kelce. So all of a sudden, instead of doubling Kelce on third down, you're manning up on Kelce on third down with a linebacker. He makes everybody better in this offense. And we saw Kansas City's offense just absolutely hum. Most astonishing stat. I thought last week when we had net negative 10 yards passing for the Jets was going to be the craziest stat of the year. Kansas City, hold my beer. They had 30 first downs today, Patrick.
It's insane.
The Las Vegas Raiders ran 30 offensive plays. They had as many first downs as offensive plays ran by the other team. That is wild.
Well, run is the key. If Kansas City's going to run the football, they may just end up winning a Super Bowl. They ran for 152 today. Pacheco's getting going a little bit. Mahomes continues to run. But Rice coming back. Remember, 2 years ago as a rookie, he had 79 catches, 1,000 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Banged up last year. Now he's back and healthy after the suspension. It's almost like you're getting a fresh player because he was forced to sit for 6 weeks in your Kansas City. Like, oh, we got a new toy. And again, it's an inspired offense this year. A lull for the last couple of years, but they're just adding so many new wrinkles. They're tremendous, and they are going to be hosting Washington, which we'll get to, because Jaden Daniels did leave the game in Dallas with a hamstring. What was the look ahead on next Monday night with Washington and Kansas City?
Look ahead was Chiefs 5.5, mm-hmm. total at 51.
What are you seeing right now? Because I'm seeing numbers. I'm seeing FanDuel 9.5.
Yeah, I see 9.5 for FanDuel. I see a 4.5 at DraftKings.
I know. They're all over the place.
Which, I mean, that can't be real. I'm going to actually go to DraftKings here. And see.
I see circa 2. So something's amiss. That's certainly not the number.
My guess is most books are not reposted yet. And so it's just the last number that was posted that's showing right now. Peel back the onion. Patrick and I using odd screens, right? There's odd mm-hmm. screens which correlate all of these different books, throw it on one screen. There's are certain situations where that causes problems, and this could easily be one of those situations. Yeah, DraftKings doesn't actually have a number.
Yeah, I'm looking at DraftKings directly. They're waiting on the Daniels injury.
Well, you have to. You have to, because Daniels to Mariota absolutely matters. And oh, by the way, you think you're getting Samuel back, you think you're getting McLaurin back. Like, if you lose those two guys as well, and you're running out there with Mariota, this is an absolute problem for the Washington Commanders, who we'll get to in a little bit here, because I got feelings about that game that we saw today against Dallas.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And Vegas is going to be on bye, so we can keep going. 455, a windy, nasty day in Cleveland, and Cleveland beats Miami 31-6. Obviously, they do cover the 2.5. It ends up going over the closing number of 34.5 as far as the total. Mutinous would be a word, and just gosh awful for Miami. You mentioned it. McDaniel said after the game, changes are going to be made. Obviously, he was talking about Tua. Specifically, Tua hasn't looked this bad as he did particularly today. And on the other side, it was the best unit on the, you know, Judkins ran very well, got 25 carries, and the defense was very good, or Miami's offense was pitiful.
Yeah, I mean, from the numbers matter selection here, number didn't matter. Whatever number you bet on Cleveland won. Total opened 41.5. We talked about it last week. Total closes 35. This game lands 37. So the number, what you bet this under at, absolutely matters. Tua Tagovailoa did everything he could to get this over. Unfortunately, he did it for the Browns. I mean, because he was awful in this game. Gets benched for Quinn Ewers. I mean, that just tells you how bad it was. He's 12 for 2,300 yards, three interceptions. I believe he fumbled three times as well. He did recover two of them, but still, three fumbles, three picks, not great, Tua. And I didn't think that, like, Tua had always struggled in weather, but weather had been really cold. It wasn't really cold. It was windy. The worst of it was over by the game started. This was more just a pathetic effort from the Miami Dolphins. And just beginning to end, they looked like they didn't belong on the field with the Cleveland Browns, who, by the way, are a bottom 10 team in the NFL. This was embarrassing. It was disgusting as a fan to watch. Like, I am just ready to rip this thing from the studs. Get rid of Chubb. Get rid of Phillips. Get rid of McDaniel. Get rid of Tua. I just start this process over with Waddle and build an offensive line and then figure the rest out, because this is a uninspired team that has talent that you're unable to execute with, and it's pathetic as a fan.
Yeah, I don't know what Ross, the owner, is going to do. Obviously, McDaniel needs to go. The reset needs to happen sooner than later. My assumption would be Greer will go, but that would be a weird assumption because he hasn't gone yet. Miami's going to be at Atlanta, as we mentioned. What to do with Atlanta coming back again? They're so mercurial. They're up, up, down, down, up, up, and they are sitting right now anywhere from 6 to 7.5 hosting Miami. That's Atlanta.
Yeah, interesting. The look ahead was 6, total 46 for this game. I would be shocked if it opens under 7. Like you mentioned, there's 6, and if there's a sub 6, I want it on Atlanta right now, because we the dead coach bounce thing is an angle. We talked about this last week where people were going to bet the Tennessee Titans because their coach was fired. Now, that was unique because it was also a revenge game for Vrabel coming in. So that kind of evened out the playing field on that level. This Miami team has more talent than Tennessee does. A more inspired effort from Miami could actually produce a better result, whereas Tennessee's not good. So even a more inspired effort's not going to give you much different of a result. I just don't know how you fix this, though. I don't know how it gets better fast.
No. It's done.
And like this should be an Atlanta team that now should be pissed off, playing at home where they have played better. I see 1-6. Everything else is 7, 7.
Yeah,
and a
half. I see a 6, too.
I would pop the 6 and then take the other side of 7 if you don't actually like the 6. And if you do like the 6, just take the best number and hope Atlanta beats the heck out of them.
Cleveland on the other end, Mike, is going to head to New England. New England will get to Tennessee. Absolutely mollywopped him. Vrabel, that was a huge revenge spot for him, you could tell. And Cleveland, look ahead, I believe, was 7, and we're still sitting 7s pretty much everywhere with New England laying it hosting the Browns.
Yeah, -7, 40.5, the look ahead, back to 7 across the board. Not much movement on the total as well. So there's no real changes here off two teams that both got big wins. We'll dive into this one a little bit later. I'm interested to get your thoughts on New England once we go over their game.
And speaking of New England, 457, so they end up closing 6.5. Today at Tennessee, a 31-13 winner. A couple of things coming out of this. Again, the mitigation of that new coach bounce, like you said. McCoy said, we're going to go ahead and simplify the game plan. They did, to the tune of 13 points and nothing on offense. This was a huge spot for Vrabel, which we kept going over and over. Vrabel is the type of dude that's going to keep receipts, and he did. Drake May is the story coming out of this, though. He's perfection.
Yeah, I was actually pretty impressed with the Patriots here, and for a couple reasons. First off, they faced adversity in that first quarter. At the end of the first quarter, they're down 10-3, and Tennessee has the ball at the 50-yard line. this wasn't a coast win from beginning to end. This was a situation where they were down a touchdown, didn't have the football, and had to find a way to respond in their third straight road game, and they responded in a big way. It's a New England team that won the rest of the game 28-3 and really took control in that second quarter into the third quarter. They win the second quarter 14-3. They get the football out of the break. They go 12 plays, 88 yards, and absolutely put the game away. That's what good teams do. That's what you want to see is like, hey, we have an opportunity to step on your throat. We're going to do it. We're not going to let you hang around. We're just going to take care of business. Drake May, this is the fake take. Is he the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the NFL right now, Patrick?
He's playing like it. He completed over 91% of his passes if you need him today. He did look like he got concussed. But he was in the post game and giving the ball to Vrabel, seemed fine. They dominated. New England is a very good football team, whether it be time of possession, plays run, yardage, everything. You mentioned they were down early, which is probably what Vrabel likes to see to show that, hey, we have a little adversity. Let's come back and kick some ass. But May is the story. They also ran the ball well.
Let me ask you a question, Patrick.
175 yards on the ground.
Yeah, they were very good on the ground. Stevenson didn't fumble. That's a good thing. He's had that issue this year. How real are the Patriots? Are the Patriots real in the sense they're making the playoffs? Are they an actual AFC contender, an actual Super Bowl contender? How far are you willing to go with this Patriots team through seven games?
Well, the scary part is it's week 7, and I think by the time we get to week 14, we're going to be talking about them. We should have gone back to week 7 and said we thought this was going to be the team. They're only going to keep getting better. So I would say legitimate can win a playoff game type of team. I'm looking at the futures right now in division. Obviously, Buffalo is going to be still a big favorite, minus $1.70. The Patriots are plus $1.25. Here's where I have the Patriots can win a playoff game.
Yeah, I am interested to keep an eye on that market because they play the Bills a little bit later, right? I think it's their seventh game away from now. They have the Browns and the Falcons at home in the next two. Very winnable games. They go to the Bucks. That'll be a tough game. Then they have the Jets at home. Extremely winnable. At the Bengals, they'll be the favorite. Then the Giants at home. They could win 5 of their next 6, Patrick, and be sitting at 9-3. And then they have the Bills at home in that next game. This is a team I want to keep an eye on, not because I want to bet them to win the division. I want to see what price I can get on the Bills if the Bills keep struggling down the road. But get ready to talk about this Patriots team as one of the best teams in the AFC because they're about to get that narrative from the general media. I'm not sure I'm there. Actually, I can tell you, I am not there. But I do think that you're going to start hearing this Patriots team in people's top tens, in a team that can make a run, that's getting better every week. I'm not ready to buy in at that level. It's a playoff team. They're going to finish second in the East, but I just be ready for the narrative that's coming.
Yeah, softest schedule you're going to find. They have a game in hand against Buffalo, plus +125 in division. Can this New England team win one playoff game?
Yes.
Yeah. I agree. I think they're only going to get better.
They're going to be the 5, which means they're going to get – well, I would say Indianapolis or Houston, but Indy right now is the 1 seed in the AFC, so it's probably not that division winner. They'll get the worst division winner, which could be Baltimore, which is ridiculous to say because Baltimore might win the division at 10-7, and congratulations, New England. You're the 5 seed, the best wild card. You get to go to Baltimore and take on Lamar.
Well, speaking of Indy, they don't have a bye next week, but they kind of do because Tennessee's headed to Indianapolis. I believe the look ahead was 12. No surprise here. It's up to 14.5 everywhere. Titans at Colts.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Titans, the question is how big is too big with these numbers with them now, right? They are a lackluster offense. We didn't have Ridley today. We'll see if Ridley's going to be out long term. It's not a great offensive line. The defense doesn't have a lot of promise, and I wouldn't be shocked if we see a couple players moved at the deadline as well, because this is a long rebuild. This isn't a year or two fix. Guys like Simmons, guys like Snead, who have value, they might be moved for picks, which could really weaken the defense as well.
Yeah, no, it's a bet. 14.5 feels about right. We'll get to Indy here in a bit. New Orleans was at Chicago. Did it end up closing 3.5?
No, it did.
Yeah, that got killed.
Yep.
So it was 5.5 on Friday. A lot of New Orleans love coming into this. We've talked about how plucky they've been. But Chicago is in control mostly in this football game, I would say. You tell me, 26-14 is really not indicative. I never felt like Chicago was threatened here.
See, I did and I didn't. What made New Orleans so plucky, Patrick? Rattler wasn't throwing picks. They weren't turning the football over.
Mm-hmm.
They turned it over 4 times today.
Yep.
Game over. It's that simple. You are not talented enough to turn the football over 4 times. Rattler's not good enough to throw 3 picks. That was the difference in the game. This was 20-14 in the third quarter. The Saints were in play at that point.
True.
Even after the issues in the first half. And look, they couldn't stop the Bears' run game. The Bears ran it down their throat in the second half, and this was a Saints defense that clearly got tired later in the game, and a Saints offense that was shooting themselves in the foot. You cannot take penalties. You cannot turn the football over. That was really the difference in this football game. And if you look at the passing yards, 209 for New Orleans, 164 for the Bears. Rushing, 44 for New Orleans, 222 for Chicago.
Yeah, and that's why I said even one score, like you mentioned in the second half, just the absolute ability to run the football. When a team can run the football at will, you feel like they're in control. Mm-hmm. So anytime Chicago was coming back the other way, I'm like, they'll be fine. They'll be picking up first downs. As a matter of fact, let's just look at first downs. I'm just curious on Chicago. They had 23 first downs today. Yeah. But interesting, that close 3.5. That's one of the more interesting moves. If we're being fair, because it was 5.5 all the way down to 3.5. The next up for Chicago. So Chicago's in one of the weirdest spots of the year because they're getting off a bye a team that is essentially playing for their season in Baltimore. In Baltimore. And 6.5 was the look ahead. It's 6.5. There is a 7. Pinnacle 7. Everybody else is 6.5 with Baltimore laying it.
I think that's the correct number if I have a healthy Baltimore. Like, what am I getting, Baltimore? Like, that's going to be interesting to see the first practice reports from them on Wednesday, because we're going to get a better idea of how banged up this Baltimore team, which was decimated before the bye. We're going to get a good idea of what we've got on the defensive side. Is the offensive line going to be healthy? You expect Lamar Jackson back. If I have a healthy Baltimore, I think this price is about right, because you're going to have – as motivated of a football team as humanly possible at home with an elite offense, like, and a team that the Bears were not great against the run 3 weeks ago. Now, after the bye, they've been very good back-to-back weeks. Here's Lamar Henry. Here's Lamar Jackson. Or here's Derrick Henry. Here's Lamar Jackson. Stop that, and I will believe that you are a good rush defense.
4 straight wins for the Bears, but like I said, I think it's the worst spot. Because I don't know if Baltimore's any good. I know this will be the best game they play all year, because it's, I mean, again, you know, I'm being hyperbolic, but you're going to get their best shot, is
yes.
What, obviously.
Yeah.
Season's on the line.
I kind of like 6.5, Patrick.
Laying it.
Yeah. If that's still out there.
I would agree.
Because I think this closes over 7.
We've got Tampa Bay headed to New Orleans. Now, Tampa Bay's tomorrow night or this morning as you're downloading Sharp Money. We've got Tampa Bay going to New Orleans. Of course, Tampa Bay's in Detroit. So Tampa Bay, Detroit, head back home, then head to New Orleans. Not a terrible flight. And I've got a 5.5 look ahead Tampa, and now I've got 6.5 on the board.
Yeah, it's 1-6 at Caesars. Everything else painted 6.5. I don't know if I can go back to the well with the Saints. I played the Saints 2 weeks ago. I had a better number than close. I played them this week. I had a better number than close. Neither of those covered. I'm not sure if I can go back at under a touchdown.
Well, we'll have a better idea coming out of Detroit. Detroit's always – here's one thing to note. After you play Detroit, you generally don't play well the next week. And that's Tampa, who's already banged up. We'll have a better idea on Sharp Money on Thursday what Tampa Bay's roster looks like headed to New Orleans. There are certain teams you play where the following week you're just not yourself, and mm-hmm. Detroit is one of those teams. Let's continue here, Mike. Sharp Money, of course. Next up would be, okay, so 461, Philadelphia at the Vikings, a 28-22 winner. Philly close 2.5. obviously their best offensive game of the year. Hurts was as good as he's been. Devontae Smith broke out. A.J. Brown broke out. Yet the Vikings were still in this, aside from Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Wentz had a tough day. I mean, he got absolutely smoked all day as well. I mean, he was under constant duress. And the second pick was bad. The first pick, which was a pick six, he got destroyed on that play. So that one's where probably should have just ate it and taken the sack. I thought this was a clunky effort from Philadelphia. This was not the machine that we saw in the Super Bowl run last year and the run we saw 3 years ago from Philadelphia as well, where it was Saquon on the ground, positive yardage every first down, second and short, you can take your shots, Hurts is surgical. This was much more of an offense that was reliant on big plays.
Big plays.
And today they hit all of those big plays, and it looked very good. You had the 326 yards passing for Hurts, 183 to Smith, 121 to Brown. The next highest receiver was Goddard with 18. I don't think today was replicatable. I bet the Eagles. I was sweating this thing the entire time because the offense was not consistent and they could not move the ball on the ground. I am so much more afraid of this offense when they're moving it on the ground, when it has to, versus when it has to be Hurts going down the field to these two wide receivers. The Vikings, they got killed by the blitz. And we know they love the blitz. They blitz all the time. They left guys in man coverage down the field. That's why we saw the Eagles able to exploit them in certain situations. I'm not sitting here ready to pump or heap praise on the Eagles, Patrick. I didn't think this was that great.
It felt like they had trouble on third downs, and as you were talking, I looked, they were 3 of 10 on third downs. They hit big plays. They had a 79-yard bomb to Devontae Smith, 2 touchdowns to Brown. This isn't last year's Eagles, obviously. No. And I think you said it well, even as an Eagles backer today, Minnesota was just kind of hanging around. In Minnesota, like, Wentz was not good in the game, but this could have gone either way. It was and a Hockenson drop in the end zone, part of the reason that kind of swung some of this. I think they settled for a field goal there.
They did. They settled for a field goal there. And just to put into context, like, the Eagles put up 28 points, scored 4 touchdowns. Their shortest touchdown on the day was a 26-yard run from Barkley.
Yeah, bombs.
It was big plays. And that's great. Look, big plays create points. You want big plays. It's hard to live off big
plays. Some variance there, yeah.
That's where my concern came in with Philadelphia today. I'm not ready to just say, oh, they're back, it's fixed. No, they hit big plays today, and it looked better because of that.
They're going to go in division. They're going to go home, and here comes the Giants, who we'll get to. do we have 6 hours? But the Giants, now, when we get to the Giants, we'll talk about why today's game matters so much, because I don't know mentally how the Giants are going to bounce back and go to Philadelphia. I had 7.5 look ahead, and I'm looking at mostly sevens. Is that the same for you with Philly Lane at hosting in division the Giants?
Yeah, look ahead, 7.5, reopens at 7, total is 42.5 painted across the board. That's right around the same number that we saw on the look ahead. It was 41.5 with a 42 on the look ahead. So we've seen it tick up a little bit here. Rematch of a Thursday night game from last week. We saw that total fly over. We saw the Giants absolutely handle this Eagles team. Now we're flipping the home venue. So now we got the Eagles at home. You'd think this is like a revenge spot for the Eagles where they just want to absolutely pound the Giants. We'll talk about this one in full once we get through the Giants game, because I don't even know.
I think everybody would agree if we gave the Giants the rest of the year off, nobody's going to argue.
It might not be enough. It might not be enough, Patrick.
Go ahead. Just, guys, nice effort. Yeah. Thursday to kick off week 8, Mike, Minnesota, quick turnaround. Now, the question here is it going to be Wentz or McCarthy? And that is here in Los Angeles. Now, the Chargers, who we'll get to, played at home today. They'll stay at home, advantage. Minnesota comes in. I had a 3 look-ahead Chargers. I've got 2.5 everywhere now.
Yeah, that's correct. I kind of want the 2.5 with the Chargers, Patrick.
I would too.
I mean, this is, and we'll get to the Chargers later. Who got hammered by the Colts, but Colts might be really good. They might just be really good, Patrick.
Colts are – no. It's not a might. I think we have to be fair. We'll get to them. I think we have to be fair to them, though. That offense is scoring 33, 34, 35 every single game, and it's not hard. It's such an efficient offense. We'll talk about them in a bit. Here's 463. Carolina, Mike, was at the Jets today. Great game. 13-6 winner for Carolina. I think it essentially was a coin toss, a pick 'em by the time it closed, and obviously stays under the total. The story is always going to be the Jets as they continue to lose. Your takeaways from Carolina and the Jets?
It was a fun one, Patrick.
Yeah, it was.
We both played Carolina plus 2.5, 1.5, whatever it was last Sunday. I got it back in on them at -1.5. It closed at -1.5. Carolina was never the loser in this game. Justin Fields plays 3 quarters, goes 6-for-12 for 46. Tyrod Taylor plays the fourth, throws for 126 yards. So, yes, Tyrod Taylor threw for more yardage in the fourth quarter than Justin Fields has in the last 2 weeks.
Well, I was going to say three, but that's – I mean, say what you will about Taylor, but it did look professional once he got in there, which is the issue, and it's not a great offense even with him, but it's the issue with the head coach that this move has been made so way too late. And by the way, just on the other side – maybe an ankle injury to Bryce Young, who was replaced by Dalton. So a couple of things to look at here. My assumption would be it's going to be Taylor next week, though.
It's got to be Taylor next week. It should have been Taylor this week. I mean, the Jets are 0-7. It's not like Justin Fields is your quarterback of the future. Neither is Tyrod Taylor, but you don't have one in the building, so you might as well put the guy out there that the team feels gives you the best chance to win, and that is clearly Tyrod Taylor. Bryce Young to Andy Dalton. Minor downgrade, if any. Like, it doesn't make a big difference.
Wash.
No matter who starts there. Dalton might be a little more of a professional quarterback. He was 4-for-7 for 60. Xavier Leggett, off the milk carton, goes 9-for-92
in
a touchdown in this game. So he shows up in a big way, something we've been waiting for all season long. Tet McMillan, 3-for-33 on 5 targets. The running back room, I think, is interesting to talk about in Carolina. We saw Rico Dowdle back-to-back games over 200 yards from scrimmage. He gets 17 carries. Hubbard gets 14 carries. Hubbard gets 2 catches. Dowdle gets 1 catch. It looks like a 50-50 backfield split, so a very hard team to play props on at the running back position, as well as a very hard team to be fantasy rostering either of these guys, because this isn't a good enough offense to have two running backs splitting the carries and thinking you can start either of them.
No, the kid calls a good offense, though. He doesn't have a ton to work with, the head coach there in Carolina. He calls a good offense, keeps you off balance. It's not a very good football team, but it's a team that's now, 4-3? That's the trivia through 7 weeks. Did you know Carolina's 4-3? But they are. And they are going to be hosting Buffalo. Let's start with the Jets, because the Jets are headed to Cincy. Was it 2.5 look ahead and now 4.5 to 5? I love Cincinnati in this game.
Yeah, Cincinnati -2.5 was the look ahead. Cincinnati reopening 4.5. I see 5.5. So there's a 6 at DraftKings, Patrick.
Yeah, DraftKings is 6.
Head over to FanDuel. 4.5, probably the best number you're getting all week if you like Cincinnati. I lean towards Cincinnati with the extra time. I love T. Higgins props in this game. Xavier Leggett's wide receiver number 2, Patrick. Guess who covers wide receiver number 1? Little guy named Sauce Gardner. Guess who's going to be on Chase all game next week? Sauce Gardner. Guess who's going to get a third or fourth string quarterback depending on the health from the Jets? T. Higgins. I would rather be betting T. Higgins props than I would be betting Cincinnati minus the points, because that's a terrible defense for Cincinnati. We have no idea if we're going to have Trey Hendrickson or not.
No, that's fair. We know that Joe is going to target both Chase and T. Mm-hmm. Plenty of times.
I have a feeling they're going to get peppered.
I think they're going to get peppered. Buffalo's headed to Carolina. Buffalo coming off a bye. Obviously, I've seen some kind of videos pop up of McDermott. He's bitter right now. They're going to be in a bad mood, and they are laying, I think the look ahead was 7.5. It's still 7.5, so I do see a couple of sevens popping up with Buffalo laying it at Carolina.
Yeah, look ahead was 7.5, so you could get either number at close or at kickoff this morning. Now we're sitting here, and you said it's 7.5. This is a teaser leg for me. I'm not ready to lay over a touchdown with Buffalo on the road until this defense gets a little bit better, but I would be very surprised if Buffalo loses this game out of the bye. So they're a pretty solid teaser leg.
I would agree. I actually, at 7.5, it's gross. It's kind of like Carolina. Yeah, I kind of like the 7.5 at home. I would agree.
You're going to get a better number than 7.5. There's going to be people that are, especially if it's Dalton, you're going to hear people making cases for the Buffalo side.
465, Indianapolis at the Chargers. So Indy, 38-24. The Chargers closed 2.5. This went well over the 48.5, 49. It's 38-24. I didn't really think it was that close. Indy was the much better team. Some desperation late from the Chargers, a couple of two-point conversions, but this was dominance by the Colts.
Yeah, Colts started out touchdown, touchdown, touchdown in this game. Efficient drives, 5 for 75, 17 for 70, 8 for 80. They moved the football on every single drive in this game except for a three-play drive for negative 3 yards in the first half and their final drive where they got 3 plays, 8 yards. Every other game, they moved the football at least 50 yards outside of a touchdown where they got a big long kickoff return. They were efficient. They were electric on offense. They were able to produce big plays from Pierce, from Warren, from Pittman, from Jonathan Taylor. Just a surgical performance for an offense. This is an over team. This defense is not as good as everyone wants to make them out to be. There's still a weakness on the defensive side of the ball for the Colts, but this offense is going to score on anyone if they are healthy. This is a top three offense in the NFL right now with all of the pieces in place.
And they didn't turn the ball over. If this efficiency equals no turnovers, they're going to continue scoring 33 points a game. That's a lock. Whether or not the defense can keep up is the other point, but they will score.
It's easy right now for the Colts.
Super easy.
It's easy for Daniel Jones. He's throwing to open dudes. He's not throwing tight window passes. He's not the only time he's throwing tough passes right now is when he pushes it downfield 40 yards, which go ahead, take the shots, man. Everything else, it's like Warren has no one 5 yards within him, and he catches it 12 yards down the field and just rumbles for another 20. It's crazy how many open players that they have that are schemed open and are effective. You got to give credit to Steichen and what he's doing with the current roster that he has.
Yeah, the charge and also Taylor, 3 more touchdowns. The Chargers, it's pretty obvious. It's not just the corners there as far as the tackles. The banged up running back room. Mm-hmm. Herbert was your leading rusher today. So Herbert's going to throw for over 400 yards, as I believe, as he did at 420 today. But that's just because of necessity. Not coming off the run at all. And that's a concern right now for a Chargers team who's going to be hosting Minnesota laying 2.5.
Yeah, and they lost Mekhi Becton in the game during this game as well, another offensive lineman. It feels like every week we talk about which offensive lineman the Chargers lost. Joe Alt might be coming back next week. He did practice this week. Keep an eye on him. He makes a big difference, especially if Becton is able to come back and be healthy. But it's a team that is banged up on the offensive line. And look, Vidal and Haskins just doesn't do it. Doesn't work in the running back room either. So you've just got holes. I mean, Orondi Gaston went for 164 yards today through the air for the Chargers, and you got blown out. That just tells you how many other broken pieces there are right now.
Yep, 100%. All right, next one is 467. The Giants at the Broncos. The Broncos win 33-32. Nothing else. Let's move on. No, I'm kidding. It was so the Giants were leading 19-0 going into the fourth quarter, and Denver scored 33 in the fourth. We could talk about this for hours. The Giants take the lead. They convert on 4th and 19. Before that was a terrible Jackson Dart pick, but then here comes the other way, Bo Nix. You can run with this. Let's just say again, 19-0 Giants into the fourth, 33 for Denver. They win it on a walk-off field goal.
I don't even know what to say about this game. This game was drunk. I was playing Bo Nix in fantasy. He had 4 points. In 4 fantasy points when the fourth quarter started, Patrick, he finished the game with 44. He had 40 fantasy points in the fourth quarter. They were so inept on offense through three quarters that Matt Brown and I are sitting on Ready, Set, Bet. He has the Broncos as his survivor this week. That's got to feel good, by the way. He's got the Broncos as his survivor this week, and he is like, this is over. This is done. I got no chance. This offense can't move the football. Bo Nix's numbers were terrible through three quarters. You were had five drops by the Denver Broncos receivers through three quarters. This was a Giants offensive line that was able to move the defensive line off the ball. The Giants were effective enough against one of the best defenses in football. And then, all of a sudden, it just got better. It got better because they went and they started playing with pace, and Bo Nix got comfortable because he has played with pace at Auburn. He has played with pace at Oregon. He just, and this is a big thing for young quarterbacks, they play better in the hurry-up system because they ran hurry-up for years in college. He just stopped thinking and started playing, and all of a sudden we saw a good Bo Nix for a quarter, and we saw a bad defense as well by the Giants. Let's just be honest here. They did not exactly close this game out well.
Downgrade Denver. I think the loss for the Giants could be ultimately debilitating, because if they had won this game, I know you hate the word, vibes would have been insane off a Philly win and then going to altitude and beating Denver with Dart. Don't look at the numbers. Doesn't matter. He just makes things happen. Now, remember, this was also won because it was potentially going to go to overtime, missed extra point, which then left the back door open for Denver to come down and kick the game winner. The Giants had every opportunity to win it. I mean, they're up 19-0. They gave up 33. I don't know how the Giants bounce back. In fact, the more we talk about this, I love Philly next week hosting the Giants.
This was a game in which the fourth quarter, Denver converted 2 2-point conversions and the Giants missed an extra point. That's the difference. By the way, the first touchdown to get this Broncos offense going, Troy Franklin catches a 2-yard pass, which was intended for Cortland Sutton.
Bounced up in the air.
In the air, and he is just serendipitous.
No. It's one of the craziest games in 105 years of the NFL.
Well, and then they turn around and we're going the other way, and it's a 41-yard touchdown pass to Theo Johnson, which was really a drop by Wandell Robinson, which popped into his hands, and everyone converged on Robinson, and he waltzed into the end zone from 41 yards out. This game was drunk. The vibes at New York, and again, like I'm not a vibes guy. They were impeccable heading into this game. I can't imagine what this locker room was would have been like had they won versus what it was like now. I don't know how you bounce back from this. I just don't know how you bounce back from this, even for a team that's not expected to really go anywhere this year.
But had they won, all of a sudden you start telling yourself stories.
Yeah.
There's a report from a beat writer there with the Giants that Daboll broke a chair in the locker room after the game. So I saw Dart after the game. He was morose, obviously pissed off. But I would take away from this, we've now seen Denver look pitiful against the Jets in London. Sometimes anomaly. It's an international game. For three quarters, they were about as bad as you could possibly be today. They're hosting Dallas next week. They're laying 3 off the 5 look ahead. I'll take Dallas. I'm out on Denver. The defense is tremendous. They're going to break records for sacks. I get it. Or just go over. Dallas is just a dead nut over team.
Total is 47.5 on the look ahead. I wish I had seen that.
What's it, 48.5 now?
Yeah, reopened at 48.5. I'm a bet the over. I don't think that Denver as constructed can stop Dallas. I don't think Dallas can stop Denver either. This feels like an old fashioned shootout at the Western Corral up there in Colorado. I like the over here more than a side. I think you're going to see points from both sides. This Dallas team can move the football on anybody. We'll get to them in a second.
No doubt. But
they're going to be very effective. One of the things. Here, we'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah. Why don't we do it now? Tex with the Old West reference. 469, Washington at Dallas. So Washington, Daniels goes out. Washington's biggest bugaboo is their defense is horrific. We know this, but Dallas is going to make you look stupid on offense. 44 points, 44-22. Dallas closed 1.5. It soars over the 55.5, which is a big-time total. And Dak Prescott is easily playing the best ball of his career, and CeeDee Lamb coming back was huge for them.
Yeah, Williams also goes for 116, so they can run the football as well.
They can run.
The Cowboys put up 17 points in the first quarter and also surrendered a safety. You know how hard that is?
It's
that
impressive.
Like, you didn't have the ball multiple times in the first quarter. If you gave up a safety, you had to punt it away. That was one of your possessions. Yet somehow they still put up 17 in the first quarter. I think the best thing that could have happened to this Dallas Cowboys offense was CeeDee Lamb missing a couple games early in the season. Because
Pickens.
Prescott and Pickens got on the same page a lot faster than they would have. If you rewind back to the game where CeeDee Lamb goes out, Pickens isn't the one who has the big game. It's Ferguson. Then the next week, we see the resurgence from Pickens. The week following, he has the monster game. Now you have Lamb back, and all of a sudden, we're not seeing a 70-30, 80-20 target split. We're seeing a much more even target split, eight for Lamb, six for Pickens. The chemistry that Dak and Pickens established when Lamb was gone makes this offense exponentially more dangerous. And next week, that absolutely matters, taking on Denver, because you've got Pat Surtain. Pick your poison. We're just going to throw at Elam all freaking day. Do you want it to be Lamb? Do you want it to be Pickens? I don't care. I have the advantage. This is a Dallas team that's just so explosive in this spot. And then I am still sick over Jaden Daniels getting hurt. I had his passing yardage over. It was 221.5. He was going to fly over that number, and he ended up not going over that number.
Well, his leading receivers today were Jalen Lane and Chris Moore. Obviously, McLaurin's out. This is a completely banged up team. You had no Debo again. Ertz did have a touchdown, but he's Zach Ertz, so he's throwing to nobody, and then also the hamstring. So that's why we're looking right now. Washington's at Kansas City next Monday. We'll talk about it on Thursday, Sharp Money, because the number's all over the place.
Yeah, Kansas City was 5.5 on the look at. I would have loved to have Kansas City at 5.5. I did not bet that. Kind of kicking myself. Second one in the look aheads I'm kicking myself on here. You know it's bad when Jaden Daniels led your team in rushing with 35 yards. You know it's worse when Marcus Mariota, your backup quarterback who came in for him, was second on the team in rushing with 34 yards.
Yeah, that's not great. Washington 3-4. I'm not going to say Fugazi last year because Daniels was that great, but
they were Fugazi last year, Patrick.
Okay.
They won a bunch of one-score games against bad teams. This was a fraudulent team last year. Even if Daniels comes back, this is a fraudulent team this year.
Okay. 471, Green Bay, Arizona. So this was a survival for those that had Green Bay. Obviously, the one thing you look at with Arizona, it's a 27-23 win for Green Bay. They don't cover the 6.5. It goes well over the 44.5. Where is the difference as far as quarterback play with Kyler Murray and Jacoby Brissett? The difference is Brissett is better. I would say that very clearly. You're just running a professional offense. They put up 27 last week, I believe, on Indy, and they put up 23 on the Packers. This was a good performance by Arizona, and Green Bay gets out of there with a win.
You remember when we were talking about Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor? That's like poor man's Kyler Murray and poor man's Jacoby Brissett. Like, Jacoby Brissett's the better quarterback for this team. Now, he will not get the starting job when Kyler Murray comes back because of a little thing called money. But he gives this Cardinals team a better chance to win. I was one of those Packers survivors today. I thought the Packers were going to lose that football game until the final whistle sounded. Like, I thought they were going to lose at every point during the second quarter. I thought they were going to lose at every point in the fourth quarter, even then when they were coming back. Micah Parsons, it's funny, there was the rumor that, like, hey, the Cowboys actually won the trade because now their run defense is good, and Parsons hasn't done anything. He has 3 sacks today. He would have had a 4th, except it got called back. He also had 9 pressures today, caused so much havoc in the backfield. It really was the difference maker, because on that drive where Arizona was trying to go and score a game-winning touchdown with less than 25 seconds left, Parsons has a huge sack. I believe it was 1st and goal,
yep,
which pushes them back. And that might have been the difference in the game. It was his 3rd official sack of the game, although 4th if you count the one that got called back. Josh Jacobs had 6 carries late into the third quarter. This offense needs to get healthy, man. Josh Jacobs was a surprise show up on the injury report with an illness. They elevated a running back from the practice squad to the regular team just in case he wasn't able to go very much in this game. They need to get their wide receivers back. I mean, Dobbs is okay. Kraft is great. Golden's still figuring things out. John Fitzpatrick's your third leading receiver with 6 yards. Then it's Devon Wicks with 5 yards. They need to get better at the wide receiver position. Love was fine. He wasn't great. But this was a lucky win for the Packers. They were the worst team today.
The elixir is they head to Pittsburgh next Sunday night. The look ahead was 3. It's 3. And I love the Packers.
I agree with you, Patrick. Better defense, better offense. Lay it with Green Bay. And there are 3.5s out there, which means that this could be moving in that direction.
Yeah, if you can find a 3, as we talked to you on Sunday night, Monday morning, here's Sharp Money, get it. I agree with Mike. I think you're going to end up seeing the hook all over the place. That Pittsburgh defense is terrible. Okay, next up would be what we just saw. We talked about it, 473, Atlanta and San Francisco, just the up-and-down nature of Atlanta. Props to San Francisco. Somehow, some way, they're 5-2 quickly in division. Mike, if you just want to talk, I actually think if you want to talk the word value here, I think it's with the team that's playing tonight if you're listening on a Monday, and that's Seattle, because Seattle right now in that division is plus 370.
Yeah, I at that number, they're the pick. I mean, if you were listening to us at the start of the season, you have a Rams ticket at over 2-1. Not a bad time to take a Seattle ticket at over 3-1, and then you're sitting there with the Rams and Seattle at big numbers, and you're just hoping to fade a San Francisco team that now doesn't have their two best players on defense for the rest of the season.
Monday night, doubleheader. 475, Tampa Bay and Detroit. Feels like we've seen these teams a lot. We saw them in the postseason a couple of years ago. Of course, you've got Baker Mayfield, who is your MVP right now, at Detroit. Detroit, no Brian Branch because of the suspension. You add that to the secondary woes as they are. And this one was an easy one for me, 52.5. There's going to be points, and more points, specifically in the second half tomorrow night. I like the over 52.5 with the Bucs and Lions.
Yeah, lean over. I have not bet it myself yet. I was hoping I'd get a 52 at some point so I could take the over. We saw the Lions game plan last week against Kansas City. Run the football. Keep Mahomes off the field. I'm sure they would love to do the same thing with Baker Mayfield. The difference is this is an elite run-stop unit for the Bucs. The Lions are going to have to throw to score, yep. And they're going to want to score. That means Baker's going to start chucking it around the yard. That means they're going to score. Don't like Kate Otten. Over. Reception yards tomorrow night. He is sitting. There's only two Pats catchers currently listed for this Bucs team.
I think they're getting Evans back.
Evans is listed at 63.5. He's expected to give it a go.
Yep.
It's a hamstring. He's old.
No Igbuka.
Yeah. It's going to be Evans and then Tez Johnson, most likely your number two. Cameron Johnson, your number three. Kate Otten, who has been very good for them the last 2 weeks, sitting at 37.5 receiving yards. Take the over. They're going to use the tight end, and they're going to have to go up and down the field to compete with Detroit here.
But you can score on Detroit right now. They are so banged up. And 477, Houston's at Seattle. Look. I think we're both on Seattle in this one, and I'll just say this. Everybody's 3. There's 1 3.5, and it's Pinnacle, and I think that's the right number. I'll lay the 3.
Yeah, I bet Seattle at 2.5. I would still bet them here at 3.
We did that last Sunday.
Yep, we talked about this one last Sunday. This is one where we got the best of the number, which 3, most important number in football. So if you see those 2.5s and you like a team, lay it early. You're losing a lot more if it goes to 3 versus if it goes to 2 and you have a half point worse than the market. Like the under 41.5. Love the rushing yards under prop here for Nick Chubb. I think that it's going to be Woody Marks' backfield coming out of the bye. Nick Chubb is sitting at 34.5 rushing yards, which sounds paltry, but this Seattle defense only giving up 79 yards rushing per game anyway, and Nick Chubb not exactly explosive in the current form behind that offensive line. The interior of the Seattle defensive line going to cause havoc in the run game against this Houston offensive line. We'll take Nick Chubb under 35.5 rush yards.
I think the Seahawks are a top 5 team. I think the balance on that team. I think they are going to decimate what you just said, an offensive line that's worse than they were last year. It's a better pass rush than you think. It's just a very balanced football team. I'm surprised it hasn't gotten everywhere 3.5.
There were 3.5s that showed up today, and they got bought, which I thought was wrong. I think this should be 3.5. So I would still bet the 3 here. Positive injury report for Seattle as well. They were missing 4 pieces of their secondary They are now missing two, and the other two are questionable. So Witherspoon and Love, their starting left cornerback and starting free safety, both questionable, but both had practices. Both were limited on Friday, which means that they actually were out there and doing things. They're getting the other two pieces of secondary back. This is a healthier Seattle team than what we've seen the last couple weeks. And last time we saw Seattle, they went into Jacksonville and looked very good. This is a Seattle team that I think has a big shot tomorrow to fire.
Okay, Mike, we close out Monday night with two on, of course, Monday Night Football. Then we kick off the week. We'll be here on Thursday, Sharp Money, with Minnesota here in Los Angeles at the Chargers. Just quickly before we get out of here, your favorite to win the Super Bowl at 5-1, the Kansas City Chiefs. The next up is 7.5-1 Bills, 8-1 Pack, 8-1 Lions, 9-1 Rams. Rightfully so. Kansas City, this is a better version right now than what we saw in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best Kansas City offense we have seen in 6 years, 7 years.
Tremendous.
Like, since Kelce and Hill, this is the best version of Kansas City's offense we've seen. And, oh, by the way, they went to the last three Super Bowls and won two of them. So there's that, right? Like, this is – and the defense, I don't want to overreact specifically to what we saw today, because the Raiders were awful, but that defense was starting to look good and turn a corner as well. Interesting to see the Colts now the sixth choice on the board. They are sub 10-1, a shorter price than the Eagles. Interesting to still see the Bucks sitting there at 17-1, Patrick. They're going to make the playoffs.
Going to get healthy.
They're going to get healthy. That's still the one price that sticks out to me. I'm not sitting here saying the Bucks are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think that they should be 17-1 compared to what the teams around them. I think the Broncos are 20-1. The 49ers are 22-1. Neither of those teams have a prayer to win the Super Bowl. The Bucks are 17, just a little bit shorter than both, and are absolutely live for it.
If you're downloading Sharp Money, remember the sports equinox is here. All four major leagues are in action at the same time. Celebrate the best time of the year for bettors with VSiN's Sports Equinox Special. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access. By the way, we've got our Opta AI modeling system for the props, which is crazy. That's part of your VSiN Pro membership. Sign up. And we go through May 1st for $120. That's less than $20 a month. It's a great deal. You get everything we offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. All right, Mike, on the way out, anything else?
Kansas City is right now -120 to win their division.
And the Chargers are what?
So Kansas City -120 right now.
The Broncos are +195.
To win the division. The Broncos, who are one game ahead of them, are +195. Just throwing it out there.
$120 is your bet.
The Chiefs are -120 to win the division. I could go back and look through the history, but I think they've won it a couple times in a row, and I'm pretty sure they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl right now, Patrick, and yet yep. They are barely a favorite to win their division.
5-1 to win the Super Bowl, $1.20 to win their division with the Broncos, who may be Fugazi at +195. That's a good take by you. Okay, we'll be back on Thursday, Sharp Money. Two good ones on Monday night. I like these. I'm intrigued by Tampa Bay, Detroit, Houston, Seattle.
Yeah, and good job by you, NFL, by not having them start an hour apart. We get to actually see the staggered games. On the West Coast, it's great. Sorry, all you on the East Coast that have to have a 10 o'clock start. But on the West Coast, it's pretty awesome when we've got 3 hours between the starts of these games and we can actually watch them all the way through from 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
3 hour stagger. Thank you to Matt Deutsch on a Sunday night into Monday morning. Samo, I'll see you here on Sharp Money on Thursday.
Let's do it.
Okay, down, like, subscribe. We appreciate all the downloads. We'll see you next time on Sharp Money.